chapter 1, let's read a little. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who? That's Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And by the way, that word image there is the only time it's used in the Bible. That word there. It's not, there are two words for image. One is icon. You've read about icons and little idols and things. That's not what Jesus is. He's not the I-K-O-N here from the Greek. He is the C-H-A-R-A-C-T-E-R, the character. The character. Who is the character of his person? Only one time. There it is. Amen. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. It's like you take a stamp and you put it into wax, and the express image of the stamp is in that wax. That's what it's talking about here with Jesus. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I'm glad I'm oneness. I am so glad I'm oneness that I understand the Godhead through the power of Holy Ghost revelation. And upholding all things by the word of his power. I'm so glad I'm oneness. I know that everything is held together by the power of the word of Jesus Christ. By the word of his power. I'm so glad I'm oneness. Because it doesn't confuse me when I read that Jesus was before Abraham. It doesn't confuse me when he says, I came from heaven, I'm going back to heaven. It doesn't confuse me when I read that he created the hills he walked on. I'm not confused when I read that Jesus made all things. I'm so glad for the oneness revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he had by himself purged our sins. That's what it says. By himself purged our sins. He did it alone. We've already talked about these things in detail. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The right hand of power. He has all authority. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he's standing on the, not on the Father's left hand, but on his right hand. No, it doesn't mean that. Not in that manner. And a good Trinitarian will tell you that. My wife and I have in years past, more often than in years present, many years ago, heard some Trinitarian preachers that understood the Godhead better than some oneness folks I've heard try to explain it. I'm telling you the truth. We heard a man and found out after, we thought that's the best oneness message we ever heard. We found out afterwards that he was Trinitarian. We could hardly believe it. It was a fantastic, powerful oneness message. And I think the only thing wrong with his message was that he just had to pacify the traditionalists. And so he said, the Trinity, you know. But the word Trinity is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And I don't know why we have to introduce it to our theology. I really don't. How about I and my Father are one? Isn't that enough? Behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Well, if you got one in the old and one in the new, that's two. It's not three. But you see, it doesn't say the Holy Ghost is one, does it? It says, behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one. The New Testament, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Well, if you get two out of that, you're out of harmony with Jesus. He said, I and my Father are one. He said that Deuteronomy 6:4 God is the John 10:30 God. That's me. Yeah. I am that God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He made everything. Yeah. He is wonderful. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We'll begin today with verse 4. I think that verses 1, 2, and 3 made it very clear that the Son, S-O-N, capital S-O-N, the Son is far superior to the prophets. You see, the prophets only had a fragment of the message. And we've talked about this in detail in previous lessons from the book of Hebrews just recently. One prophet said he'd come from the tribe of Judah. Another prophet said he would be born at Bethlehem. Another prophet said his name would be Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and so on. So each prophet bought a piece of the message of the Messiah. But when Jesus came, he didn't bring just another piece. He didn't bring just the final piece or the missing piece to make the puzzle complete. He was the whole puzzle. He was the whole message. Jesus is the complete message. Praise the Lord. So he is far superior to all the prophets, singularly or collectively. Praise the Lord. Now, we start reading, or we read in those verses, that the Son is heir. Just listen to what it says about the Son. The Son is heir of all things. The Son is creator of the worlds. The Son is the brightness of God's glory. The Son is the express image of God. The Son upholds all things by the word of his power. The Son himself alone purged our sins. The Son is now sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I get the idea that the Son is superior to the prophets. The Son is superior to the prophets. Praise the Lord. Now, we read verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He has a more excellent name than they. Listen to Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He has a more excellent name than they. That's what it says here, than the angels. Okay? He got this name by inheritance, verse 4 tells us. Now, a son is by law an heir. A son is by law an heir. H-E-I-R. An heir to what the father has. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he's heir to the throne. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I said a son is by law an heir. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Luke 1:31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Okay? Here we have the Son. Now, what about the Son? He got his name by inheritance. He got his authority. He got his ownership by inheritance and also by creation. So he has a twofold claim on creation. He shall be great. Look at, he's born. He's the heir. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then we have Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. He has a more excellent name than they. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Being made so much better, not just than the prophets, than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He got his name by inheritance. Speaking of Jesus, Peter said, in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 22, speaking of Jesus, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities being made subject unto him. Praise the Lord. Why is it necessary for the writer to prove that Jesus is better than the angels? Why is it better? Or why is it necessary for the writer to prove that Jesus is better than the angels? Well, angels were very active in Israel's history. Angels were there. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 35. Stephen is preaching a powerful message. And if you ever want to read a concise history of the Old Testament, you ought to read this chapter over and over. Stephen really gives it to us in outline form. Verse 35, Acts 7:35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. Look at verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Amen. Stephen is telling of the angel's part in Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Now, the Jews respected the angels because of their place in the giving of the law. Acts 7:53, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Galatians 3:19, Paul speaks, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, that's Jesus, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained, the law, was ordained by angels, in the hand of a mediator. Of course, the mediator being Moses. Listen to Paul again in Colossians 2:18. No wonder the writer to Hebrews is exalting the Lord Jesus above angels. They had a big problem in Israel. They had a big problem in the new church. The New Testament church made up of Israelites. Listen, Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. They thought so much of angels that they went to worship angels, and the Bible forbids worshiping angels. In fact, it says, let all the angels worship the Son. Praise the Lord. So, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That was Colossians 2:18. Now, the writer made a statement. He said, being made so much better than the angels. And now he's going to prove it. He'll go about proving it. And for his proof, I like to put it this way. He reaches back into the Old Testament and comes up with a big handful of scriptures. Where could you get better proof than from the Holy Scriptures? If you can't prove what you believe from the scriptures, it might not be worth much. Not very much at all. In fact, have a negative value. Less than nothing. You know? You read that in the Old Testament. The prophet's talking about the nations. And in God's sight, you know, he says they're nothing. They're less than nothing. Well, somebody tried to figure out what less than nothing was. So he drew a circle. He said, that's zero, that's nothing. Then he got an eraser and erased the circle. He said, that's less than nothing. Praise the Lord. So less than nothing is a circle with a rim wiped out. So now he reaches back. He gets a handful of scriptures to prove that Jesus is made so much better than the angels. And the first verse he takes is from Psalm 2:7. Now, we got to read that. Back here in verse 5 of Hebrews 1. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. That Psalm 2:7 says, I will declare the decree, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And Paul preaches that in Pisidia, Acts 13:33. If you want to go into a little more detailed study, it is exciting. It's wonderful to study these things. So the question in Hebrews 1:5, unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, implies a negative answer. The answer should be obvious from the implication. No, he never said it to any angel. To no angel did God ever say, Thou art my Son. But when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, and you read that verse to them, this is what they said to me. They said, well, the answer to that question is Michael the Archangel. Jesus is Michael the Archangel. So when it says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, he's talking about Michael the Archangel. How many have ever heard that? Have ever run into that? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's see if the Jehovah's Witnesses are right or wrong. How many think they're wrong? How many think they might be right? How many think that we're not qualified to judge? That's what a lot of people say today. Who are you to judge? That's your interpretation of the scripture. You know, who are you to say it's that way? You think you're right and everybody else is wrong? Who? You think that Pentecostal Assembly Church is the only church in the world that knows the Bible? I've had people tell me that. We don't think that. We're just smart enough to understand what it says and what it means. If that sounds arrogant, let's go and study this for a minute and I'll prove to you that I'm not arrogant. If I am, you'll be just as arrogant as I am when we're done. Because I'm going to put this on you, heart heavy. Are you ready? If the Jehovah's Witnesses are right, if Jesus Christ was an angel, then Jesus Christ is robbed of his humanity. Because angels aren't human. They're spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits? The Bible says. If the Jehovah's Witnesses are right, then Jesus Christ wasn't born because angels are not born. Was Jesus born, or is that our opinion? Is that our interpretation of the scripture? Oh, brother, don't let anybody take advantage of you. You know, there's too much of this ecumenism today when you have to compromise, when you have to let go and keep your understanding and your truths quiet. You can't speak them up because truth is divisive and we are ecumenical and we want to get along one with another. We are not Christian if we can't get along one with another. That's what they tell you. They try to intimidate you and put you down and close your mouth, but we can have the right spirit and still speak truth. You got to go around happier than they are, you know. You've heard me say it, if you're not happier than they are, they're not going to want what you've got. They might as well keep what they have. And if the Word of God doesn't make you happy, I don't know what will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody shout amen on a Sunday morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the Jehovah's Witnesses are right in saying that Jesus Christ was Michael the Archangel making Jesus an angel, then Jesus didn't die because angels don't die. Now, is that our interpretation that Jesus died? Well, Hugh Schoenfeld would say that's our interpretation. He's the man, the Jewish man that wrote the book, The Passover Plot. He would say he only swooned on the cross and they took him down and he died a natural death. Or he didn't die on the cross at least. But what does the Bible teach us? Doesn't the Bible teach us that Jesus died by crucifixion? Doesn't the Bible teach us that he was murdered by those that hated him? Doesn't the Bible tell us that? Or is that our interpretation that he died? No. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He takes in the whole account of scriptures and says that Christ died. But if the Jehovah's Witnesses are right, and Jesus is only an angel, or if Jesus is Michael the Archangel, then Jesus is robbed of his humanity. Jesus wasn't born, because angels aren't born, they're created. Then Jesus didn't die, because angels don't die. Therefore, if Jesus was an angel, we have no salvation, we have no gospel, and Hebrews 2:16 is a contradiction, which says, "For verily Jesus took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham." Praise God, Jesus Christ became a man, not an angel. And he died for us, not for angels. Amen. Well, somebody came to me and said, "But aren't angels called the sons of God?" Well, then you have to do your homework. Open up your Bible. And I did. Job 1:6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God..." Oh, no, there goes my whole doctrine. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Listen, we're building doctrine. Or we're extracting doctrine from the Scripture. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." And you read almost the same thing again in chapter 2 of Job, verse 1. Okay? And in Job 38:7, the Lord is describing his work of creation, and he says, "All the sons of God shouted for joy." Well, I'd like to have been there and heard those angels shout for joy. Oh, I'd have loved to have heard them shout for joy. Angels can shout. They wonder why we don't shout. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they're shouting. They're shouting when we get saved, and stop shouting. Not me. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I'm going to say, "Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We got to shout. We got to outshout the angels. God's done more for us than he has for the angels. He redeemed us. He died for us. He didn't do that for anything else, anybody else, anyplace else. Amen. Angels can shout. And I'd love to hear them shout on that day. I like 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. That doesn't make him an archangel. With the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ going to rise. I think we're going to leave this earth with a shout. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so angels are called sons of God. But did you catch something there? When they say that Jesus was an angel, that's not... Jesus is the Son, S-O-N, and angels are called not son, sons. They're not even spelled alike. One is S-O-N and the other is S-O-N-S. They're not the same. Okay? Collectively, angels are called sons of God. Collectively. But never, never, ever can you find in the scriptures from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Never in the scriptures. No, Revelation. What did I say? Revelation 22:21. Right. Okay. Never in all the Bible has one individual angel ever been called the Son of God. Never. And I don't think that we are called the Son of God. But we are called sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's in a collective sense. The angels were called sons of God collectively, but never one individual angel ever was called the Son of God. Never, never, never. And that's why he says this here. "For unto which of the angels can you name all, even one?" The writer is saying, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." No, you won't find one, is what he's saying. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And he is so called the Son of God. What the Bible says of the Son goes far beyond what it says of angels. You can be sure of that. Okay, so he reaches back and he brings forth another Old Testament scripture to prove. To prove that Jesus has, by inheritance, a more excellent name than the angels. The first proof is Psalm 2:7. In fact, if you have a reference column in your Bible, you'll probably see there, it'll say Psalm 2:7. And if you want to, you got a little red lead, just circle that 2-7 in the reference column. And that's good. I do that. Okay? And now he brings another scripture. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now that comes from, and we better turn there. That comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now this is really interesting. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Praise the Lord. Start reading at verse 12. Now this is God talking to David, covenant with David. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. Woo! Now, just reading this without any New Testament help, you might think this is speaking of David's son, Solomon, which it is. But, we'll get to the but in a minute. And when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after. This is God Almighty talking to King David. I'll set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. In other words, that's going to be his natural son, his flesh, right? It's going to be David's flesh, his offspring, David's offspring. David's fleshly offspring. This is important, folks. And I will establish his kingdom. I will establish his kingdom. Well, who established Solomon's kingdom? If God doesn't establish it, it's going to fall anyway. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. Uh-oh. We got to part ways now with that previous thought. Forever! Solomon's dead. He's dead. He's not on the throne. But listen here. He says, when thy days be fulfilled, you sleep with your fathers, and I'll set up your seed after you, David, which shall proceed out of your bowels, David, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And here is the verse. 2 Samuel 7:14. Here is the verse that the writer of Hebrews reaches back in the Old Testament for to give his second scriptural proof that Jesus Christ, the Son, hath a greater name that he received by inheritance than all the angels. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Now, if you read on, you're going to miss it. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Wow. Wow, this is powerful. This is so powerful. But when you read this, one thing it dawns on you, when you read Hebrews 1, what, 6 or 5, when he says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's taken an Old Testament scripture that's telling us that David had a son named Solomon, and he's applying it to Jesus Christ. Has to be. Now, this is the way the apostles did their work. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's what the apostles did. They did something that we'd probably be afraid to do because we don't have the authority to do it, but the apostles have that apostolic authority, and they do it. They wrote doctrine. They established doctrine. They created doctrine. They formulated doctrine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So Solomon is a type only. Now we know there are types, shadows, figures, and allegories in the Old Testament. We know that from reading the New Testament. Which things were an allegory, which things were a type, which was only a shadow, but the body is Christ, and so on. So Solomon is a type only, and Jesus is the true fulfillment. Now, Hebrews 1:5 proves this emphatically. ungainsayably. Jesus is the prophetic son of David. Is he? Well, let's go about proving that. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus Christ was born of David according to the flesh? Sure do. Sure does. Matthew 1:1, the whole New Testament starts out this way. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Jesus Christ is the son of David. Wow. Ooh, is anybody getting it? Oh, hallelujah. He's flesh. He's blown. He's blood. Jesus Christ is one of us. Praise God. He's not an angel. He's one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 1:20. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee. Blind Bartimaeus cried, Jesus, thou son of David. At the triumphal entry, the people were shouting, Hosanna to the son of David. Jesus himself said in Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David. Doesn't that mean I'm David's father and I'm David's son? I'm the root and I'm the offspring. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord of David. And just in case anybody thinks that the apostles went too far, calling Solomon a mere type and Jesus the true prophetic fulfillment of this verse, listen to this. Matthew 12:42. Jesus speaking. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Anybody know the rest of it? And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let's go ahead and make Solomon the type and Jesus the true fulfillment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. Back to Hebrews 1. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? That's Psalm 2:7. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That's 2 Samuel 7:14. And now, again, verse 6. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. Do you know where this verse comes from? Does anybody have it there? It should be Psalm 97, verse 7. See it in your reference column? You can circle that with a little. I like red lead. It stands out more conspicuously. Psalm 97:7 says this. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Now here's the part of the verse that he's quoting. Worship him, all ye gods. Gods. Well, now you have to do your studying. I don't know, did anybody here have a copy of the Septuagint? Anybody know what the Septuagint is? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. A couple hundred years BC, they translated it into Greek. That's called the Septuagint. The translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek is the Septuagint. I have a copy of the Septuagint. But Brother Tamron, you can't read Greek. No. I have an English translation of the Greek Septuagint, which is a translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And behold, I looked it up last night, just to make sure. I've looked it up before. You know, I got to keep looking things up. The Septuagint uses the word angels rather than gods. Now, the apostles had the Septuagint. And they're quoting here directly. It appears from the Septuagint. Worship him, all ye angels. Where the Hebrew, translated directly into English, says worship him, all ye gods. Well, then you got to study a little further to find out who's right here, if they're right, what's going on. But there's no contradiction here, because if you look in your Strong's Concordance, and it's easy to do this, and you don't need a whole lot of books, you don't need the Septuagint, all you really need is that Strong's Concordance, and you can do wonders. How many have a Strong's Concordance? Good. you ought to go ahead and buy one. We sell them here. Sandberg will sell you one. I think for $12 yet, and they'll cost you closer to $20 in the bookstores. What do they cost in the bookstore? $24.95. Sister Sandberg will sell you one for $12 while the supply lasts. And that's a good deal, isn't it, Sister?
Yes.
Amen. That's a good deal. From $24.95 down to $12. But we got them on a good bargain. The first batch I bought, I loaded my car down, drove back from Grand Rapids, Michigan with I wouldn't dare drive at night. My headlights would be aiming at the moon. I had the back seat full, front seat, trunk full of concordances. And we bought that whole batch for $5 each. And then the next batch was $7 each. And then it went up to $9. And I don't know where it's at now, but I think we're selling them below cost right now. But that's because that's what we paid for them. We want to pass the blessing on to you, saints, members of Pentecost Assembly Church. Okay, so all you need to do is get out your Strong's Concordance. And look up the word gods. Look up the word angels. Look up the word God, capital G-O-D. You know what you'll find? It's number 430 in the Hebrew section. And here's what it means. 430 is Elohim. Are you saying that the angels are Elohim? Why, certainly. How you dare say that? Everybody knows that Elohim is God. And oh, do the Trinitarians ever love to remind you that Elohim is plural. Therefore, that's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When I first heard that, I said, what are you talking about? Plural isn't three. Plural is two or more. Where did you get three out of plural? That is not good reasoning. I mean, it's not even good reasoning. To read that Elohim, when it says God, that's plural, means there's three in the Godhead. No, there might be 3,000. It's plural. It could be two. It could be one. Behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you don't need a Hebrew dictionary to figure that out. Right? You don't need a Hebrew dictionary to figure that out. So number 430, Elohim. Here's what it says in Strong's. Gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used of the supreme God. Specifically used of the supreme God. Okay. Occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates. Maybe ungodly magistrates are called Elohim. Do you get that? Right. And sometimes as a superlative, angels. Now we put the puzzle together. When he said, worship him all ye gods. And then in the New Testament, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, if Jesus was Michael the archangel, then he's got to worship himself. Because all the angels have to worship him. All the angels are commanded to worship him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, some say that this verse refers to the incarnation. Let all the angels worship him at his incarnation. Some say it refers to his resurrection. The angels were worshiping him. They were there. They were present at his resurrection. Some say it refers to his second coming. And I have that in my reference column here. It says, when he bringeth again the first begotten into the world, rather than and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. Well, I don't have a big problem with that because the angels were present at the incarnation and the angels were present at the resurrection and the angels will be present when Jesus comes again. Amen. The point is that all angels of every rank and every order are commanded to worship him. According to Psalm 97:7, the reference that the writer of Hebrews reaches back for to prove that Jesus has a more excellent name than the angels. Even by inheritance. So the point is that all angels of every rank, every order, are commanded to worship him. Now, doesn't this reference certainly prove that Jesus is superior to all angels? Angels are never to be worshipped, but Jesus Christ never refused worship. You can read it over and over again and again in the New Testament. Jesus Christ never refused worship. Amen. We can close with Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 15. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, praising God, praising God. This is all the angels, this heavenly host of angels, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Where did I say to read through? 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. You notice the angels didn't command the shepherds to worship Jesus. They themselves worshiped at the incarnation of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand? The next quotation will be from Psalm 104, verse 4, Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Lord Jesus, I thank you.